WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the campaign for governor of New York State took a very interesting turn last week as Suffolk County Executive Steve Levy entered the race, switching parties from Democrat to Republican. Levy is best known for his tough stance against illegal immigration to Suffolk County, but notably he was reelected the last time out with the support of the Democratic, Republican, Conservative, Independents, and Working Families parties. So let's get to know him a little better. Steve Levy joins us now. Mr. Levy, thanks for coming on, and welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thank you very much for having me back on. Proud to be with you.
Why do you want to be governor?
Because this state is a mess, and I want people to be proud of their state again. We're the butt of late-night jokes. We can never get a budget on time. We're inches away from falling off a financial cliff, and there doesn't seem to be the leadership in place to provide the tough medicine that we need to get our fiscal house in order. I've got the proven record as a manager and an executive who's taken a county that was on the precipice of fiscal disaster and turned it around with 6 years in a row without a general fund property tax increase. And I've got the plan to save New York, which I'm very, very anxious to talk to the people of New York all about.
You've been a Democrat for your whole political life. Why not run as a Democrat?
Well, you know, I've been a Democrat, and I've also been endorsed by the Republican, Conservative, and Independence parties in previous elections.
Was I wrong about working families, by the way?
Yes, I was. I had not gotten their endorsement in the 2007 reelection. I think they thought I went a little too far with trying to hold the line on taxes, but that's what the people of my area overwhelmingly wanted since they were getting taxed out of their homes. And I think that's what the people of New York want because the taxes are too high, the economy's in a mess, this budget is leading us toward bankruptcy, and they want someone with a strong, steady hand to straighten it out.
Do you see yourself in the mold of Mayor Bloomberg, a nonpartisan independent simply looking for a path to victory around the Democratic Party machine?
Well, I do, in fact, consider myself like a post-partisan, someone who's far less concerned about the party registration than I am about the ideals. The difference is, I don't want to say that Mayor Bloomberg did this, but I'll say for myself, I'm not forum shopping, I'm not party shopping. I have been endorsed in the past by the Republicans and Conservatives, and when I put my toe in the water about this race, I laid out a very specific plan, which people can see on my website at levyfornewyork.com. It's a 10-point plan to radically change this state, and I was waiting to see who wants to join forces with me. I didn't get many calls from the Democratic leadership, but I got a whole bunch of calls from the Republican leadership saying, we really like what you're talking about here. You've done it before. You're talking about very specific items to get our fiscal house in order. We'd like you to be our candidate. They invited me in, and just last week, the state chairman endorsed my candidacy, as did 7 of the 9 regional chairs.
What's at the top of your 10-point list?
It's declaring a fiscal state of emergency that will allow the state to do some extraordinary things in extraordinary times. It's similar to what the city went through in the 1970s when they were close to bankruptcy, or Nassau County in the 90s, or Erie County more recently. The local legislators were not getting it together, so an independent control board came in and made the tough choices that had to be done. I would put together an independent board that would put in all of the needed budget reforms and reduction programs that have been swept under the rug for the last couple of decades. You put it in one bill, just like they did with the on the federal level to close Army bases that everyone was too scared to vote on. And then you have one big vote up to save New York, or down, and you allow it to go into bankruptcy. So that's at the very top of my list, and of course that would incorporate a spending cap and a local property tax cap and many other items that I'd be more than happy to talk to you about.
Lieutenant Governor Ravitch was here last week talking about his plan, which also includes an independent review board to hold the spending at bay a little bit from the outside. How is yours different from his?
It differs in one major way. They had a wonderful opportunity to do great things, to restructure the spending habits of the state, and they blew it. They copped out. Instead, they used it as cover simply to borrow. You know, Ravitch had the right idea, and in fact, he led the review board for New York City back in the 70s, which is ironic, so I was kind of happy that he was adopting my idea that I put on my website 2 months ago for this independent control board. But then they really blew the opportunity where they said, don't do any cuts, don't do any caps, don't require the state public employee unions to give anything back, don't look at pension reform, don't look at any of those things, just use it as a shell for borrowing. It's too bad. I want to up the ante again and keep the focus on real restructuring reform, such as eliminating the Triborough Amendment that allows for public employee and public employees to continue to get their step increases even after the contract expired. There's no incentive for unions to negotiate in good faith with management, and that's just one of the myriad of problems, along with mandatory arbitration and other things, that foist these horrible, costly mandates onto local governments.
Steve Levy, Suffolk County Executive, running for governor of New York as a Republican. Andrew Cuomo, as you know, is the prohibitive favorite in the polls so far. Substantively, what's wrong with Andrew Cuomo?
Well, you know, I think he's a competent fellow, and the difference is I'm the only candidate out there right now who is giving a very specific remedy to save this state. People are not going to vote for someone in November because they're well-known, or they might have been high in popularity pollings, or they might have a lot of money, or they might have been around for a while, and okay, now it's your turn. People don't care. This isn't 4 years ago when you had the same sort of set of circumstances with a very popular attorney general with a lot of money and a huge lead. This is much different this year, because this year the state is going the way of California and many other states into fiscal collapse. They're looking for a leader, someone with executive and managerial experience. I took a county that is larger than 11 states, that had its largest deficit in history in 2004. I turned it around in 1 year. By the end of that year, I had a balanced budget, a surplus, a general fund tax cut, and tax freezes for the next 5 years after that. No other person in this race can say that. That's what the people of the state are looking for.
You're considered red hot on the issue of immigration, for better or for worse, depending on the voter. As governor, would you spearhead a crackdown on people here illegally statewide, as you've done at the county level?
Well, what I would do is simply enforce the law. You have a lot of folks who are very timid about enforcing the law, and what I simply said is what I think the vast majority, I'd say 85-90% of the public believes. The federal government has it totally backwards. They make it too easy to come in here illegally and too difficult to come in here legally. I would like to work toward making it easier for people to come in the right way by waiting online and paying their taxes and getting vetted, and make it much more difficult for people to come here illegally and to work for these firms off the books without paying taxes and at times being a drain on the economy.
But at the state level, what would that mean specifically to enforce the law in a way that the current administration is not?
Well, I, I think, for instance, it means doing what we did on a county level, that if you're a contractor and you want to get a winning bid from the state, that we're going to seriously look to see that the people who work for you are here properly and that you're paying your health insurance and your workers' comp and your license. I think there's a little too much looking the other way in that regard. But I will say this, Brian, it's not as though this is the centerpiece of this campaign, primarily because it's not what is prime on people's minds. Right now, it's all about the budget and the finances. And in fact, when you introduced me as saying mostly well-known on the immigration issue, that's not true in my area. In my area, what I'm most well-known for is being a fiscal hawk who balances budgets, who will not tolerate waste and abuse in a budget, and has been a tax cutter. That's what the people are looking for this year.
A little more on the immigration issue, though, since a lot of people do know you from that. Did you ask county police and federal officials in 2007 to raid the homes of suspected illegal immigrants, to raid their homes?
No, that is a myth that was perpetrated by the illegal immigration lobby. What we did in one case was work with the local town because there was a house with 60 men living in it in a two-bedroom, one-bath house. Now, in anybody's book, that is a fire trap, a death trap waiting to happen. It was so amazing to me that after we worked with the local town to actually condemn that building, and of course if we didn't, then there was a fire, we'd be excoriated. But rather than many in the media applauding us for closing down this death trap and trying to put this slumlord in jail, instead they were going around saying it's ethnic cleansing and you're targeting and raiding. Absolutely preposterous. I think we did the right thing. I'd do it again tomorrow if we had 60 individuals living in a two-bedroom house with one bathroom, 900 square feet, where people were defecating in the backyard and they were sleeping on triple bunks with no electricity and candlelight keeping them during the night, where it was just a fire trap waiting to happen. I think we did the right thing, and I'd stick with it.
As one of your critics, Albor Ruiz, wrote it up in Newsday, quote, many people were routed from their homes in order to disperse without regard for where they went. Orlan Enrique Moreno Zavala, 22, a Honduran man found dead in February 2007 in the woods near Huntington Station, became a symbol of Levy's abusive policies. Do you have another version of that?
Now you see how ridiculous that is? The house that was closed down was in Brookhaven Town, probably about 40 miles away from the individual in Huntington Station. So I'd really suggest that those in the illegal immigration lobby get their facts straight and stop defending these slumlords who exploit people. And I'm talking about the undocumented individuals themselves who are being exploited by these people. We did the right thing by condemning this house, and any elected official who would look the other way when you have 60 people living in a two-bedroom house like that, I think should resign. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Did you make provisions for them to get other housing?
Yeah, we have our social services that goes along with the town whenever there is some type of condemnation in place. So, that's mostly the town that does the enforcement. What social services does is make sure that when the place is closed down, that people can get help in English and Spanish to accommodate them. The county will not supply taxpayer-financed housing for those who are here illegally, but on an emergency basis, we'll make sure nobody is freezing out in the cold weather.
And last question on this topic. Do you support the Schumer-Graham bill or McCain-Kennedy, Bush-Obama-style comprehensive immigration reform?
Not with amnesty in it. I think I remember back in 1986 when they did the first amnesty bill, they said, don't worry, after this one, we're going to close the borders, or at least control the borders, and there'll be no more illegal immigration. Well, they found that promoting illegality leads to more illegality. What you should do is make it easier for people to come in here the right way and more difficult for people to come in the wrong way. And I think 90% of the public agrees with that.
So no amnesty means no path to citizenship for people already here, correct?
Well, you've got to leave the country, and you've got to make sure that all those people who have been online for 10 years trying to get into this country are not cut on that line. That's not the way I grew up. That's not fair. You wait in line, you pay your dues, and then maybe you can get some consideration. But to say you came here improperly and we're going to give you a pass while these other people continue to stay online, I don't think that's very fair.
Steve Levy, Suffolk County Executive, running for governor of New York now, switching parties last week from Democrat to Republican. And the top leadership of the state conservative party this weekend endorsed Rick Lazio for governor. No Republican nominee has won for governor in many decades without the conservative line in addition to the Republican line. Are you conservative enough for the Big C conservatives?
Well, you know, I think everything this year is going to be about fiscal conservatism, and there's no one in this race who's more fiscally conservative than I am. You know, I'm talking about giving the governor the ability to impound up to 10% of the budget so that we can maintain a balanced budget. I'm talking about real pension reform. You know, we have people who put into the system, you know, like in Jersey, $65,000, and over their lifetime take out $1.4 million. It's unsustainable. Now, we can't change it for present pensioners, but for new people that are hired by the state, we've got to change that system and make it more along private, the way the private retirement system goes. We need to end mandatory arbitration that now has us on a local level being forced to pay police officers $200,000 a year. We need to change some of these disability payments that allow some employees to stay home, get 100% salary, tax-free, and you get more money staying home than if you come to work. These are the kind of archaic and Byzantine laws that have been pushed by the special interest in New York State as opposed to other states that are breaking our back. Someone has the guts to go in there and say it like it is. I think conservative leadership is going to like that over the next several months when they hear my message.
The Conservative Party is also interested in social issues. Where are you on abortion rights?
I'm pro-choice.
Would you propose any abortion-related legislation as governor or issue any abortion-related executive orders in any direction?
Well, it would not be. The theme of my campaign is fiscal reform, getting our house in order. And I think there have been previous years where social issues dominated. This year, I don't think they're going to because primarily people care about survival right now, keeping their job, stopping the state from being a laughing stock. I, for instance, am tired of, you know, year after year having budgets that go into May and June and July. Very simple solution. In the county level, you put in your budget. 2 months, the legislature has to approve it or disapprove it. If they don't, the county executive's budget takes effect. Should be the same thing on the state level. April 1st, the executive's budget takes effect. End of story. Those are the kind of things that people want to talk about this year.
If the legislature were to pass a gay marriage bill when you're governor, would you veto it?
Well, what I have said is, you know, coming into county as county executive, we were very progressive in providing for equal benefits for all. I do believe that you can have civil unions that are, you know, the same amount of rights that can be bestowed with marriage. I just think you can keep the separation with a marriage being a man and a woman as long as you get the civil union proposal that would be on par with the rights. I'm talking about inheritance. I'm talking about proxies for health care and things of that sort.
So that's your preference. Would you veto a gay marriage bill if they passed it?
I have to look at how the language is because I don't like the idea of forcing things upon religious institutions. And frankly, I don't think something like that is getting out of the New York State Senate. So let's try to get something that does work with a civil union type of a program that gives equal rights. And I think you can leave the marriage part, which would be semantic, for a man and a woman to leave out the religious implications.
I gather that when you were in the Assembly, you were a state assemblyman, that you voted for a tax hike. Do you have to explain that, especially to Republicans?
Well, I've never voted for a tax hike in the Assembly with one exception. It was after 9/11, and the entire nation was in disarray, and it was very sudden. And there was a temporary, and I stress temporary, increase on, you know, the millionaire's tax, you might call it. And the key is, it expired. We ensured that it was just a temporary fix to get us through that act of war. 2 years later, it was off the books. So you go beyond that. My record is absolutely stellar. There is no one else in this in this race who can say they've ever cut a tax as I have. They've never balanced a budget as I have. They've never extracted concessions from a union as I had. So that's what I think the people of the state are looking for this year.
Some people say this is the moral equivalent of that moment, this deep recession. And as we're waiting for things to come back, millionaires should be asked to do a little bit more once again temporarily. What's your opinion on
that? Well, the difference here is the suddenness of 9/11. Didn't give us much of an opportunity to radically restructure. We just had to keep our heads above water since the the Wall Street was blown to pieces from figuratively. Now, what you have here is after this collapse, the federal government through the stimulus program gave states some leeway. They gave them some lead time. We're going to give you some money to keep you afloat for a while. That was the opportunity for the state to start their radical restructuring so you didn't have to rely on a temporary or a permanent tax increase. They've basically blown it. They've done nothing over the last year and a half to change this system structurally. They've taken the stimulus money, relied on it to the point where they increased spending by 9% in this past fiscal year, while I had a 0% increase. I actually cut spending in my county. That's the difference. Over the last 10 years, the state of New York increased spending by 70%. I cut spending in 3 out of the 6 years of my tenure. They've had money from the feds over the last year and a half to restructure. They've done none of it. You don't have to raise taxes if you take the tough medicine. They want to look the other way, unfortunately.
We've just got 2 minutes left with Steve Levy, Suffolk County Executive, now running for the Republican nomination for governor of New York. Let's do a quick checklist on issues and let people know where you stand briefly on some other things, okay? Yes or no answers, more or less. The health reform bill, would you have voted?
Too complicated. I'm sorry to just say yes or no. I will give you on health reform. Definitely there have to be changes made because the costs are unsustainable. But the big elephant in the room is that they never touched tort reform. And what they did as well, and the reason I would oppose it, is because they're foisting a major mandate on local, state, and state and local governments where the Medicaid rolls are going to be enlarged dramatically and local taxpayers are going to have to pick up that tab when they're bone dry.
Senate Majority Leader Pedro Espada has just switched positions to support East River bridge tolls. Do you care one way or the other?
Well, I'll tell you what, I would have to examine that in terms of the total picture. I will say this, the MTA tax that was imposed on people within the MTA area last year was an abomination, especially for those in the outer counties who don't even use the mass transit system. They got clobbered in their small businesses. What I would suggest is they look at so much of the fraud that's inherent in this system. You know, in the Long Island Railroad, you've got 95% of all the employees who retired who are collecting disability. It's corrupt. It's a scam. It's costing us millions and millions of dollars. Get rid of that abuse, then you can talk about those other items.
What's the last nonfiction book you read that you really liked?
You're going to think I'm a nerd, but I read the New York Times Almanac. I love that stuff. I love the facts and figures and reading about world history and all of the demographics of different states and nations. I like that kind of stuff. Maybe boring, but to me, it's cool.
Did you vote for Spitzer for governor in 2006?
I've been asked so many things. Did you vote for this guy, that guy? I just keep that between myself and the voting booth on any of those prior elections or future elections, for that matter.
You never endorsed Mario Cuomo for governor when you were young?
Oh, back in those days, you know, I was a county legislator, and he would come to town very often and, you know, delivering some aid to a locality. So there were times we certainly did work together. And by the way, when you're in office, you've got to learn to work with others in office, whether they're with your party, against your party. You have to build consensus. You have to build bridges to get things done.
All right. 30 seconds to say anything you want to our listeners about your candidacy for governor.
I ask people to look at my website because it's more specific than anything they've ever seen before in a candidate. I think it's absolutely essential, Brian, that the person running this year runs for a mandate for change, not general change, but very specific fiscal change, declaring an emergency, and doing the hard things that have been swept under the rug for the last several years. I'm not going to get the public employees unions and the special interest voting for me. I'm going for the 80% in the middle. The taxpayers have said, we've had enough. We want someone with some straight talk to get the job done. I'm that guy.
All right. I want to get you and Mr. Lazio in our studio together one day and hash it out a little bit before the primary. Thank you very much for coming on with us today, and we'll talk to you again during the campaign.
Thank you, Brian. Take care.
Steve Levy, Suffolk County Executive, just changed parties the other day, running for the Republican nomination for governor of New York. Coming up in just a minute, we'll talk to Dan Cantor, the leader of the Working Families Party, on how they'll retaliate against the only New York City congressman to vote no on health reform.